Welcome to On the Mic Podcast. This is your host, Tim Drake. On today's episode, I have comedian and actor Dave Koeppner. Dave is in town with some shows at Club at 50 West in downtown Salt Lake City. First show was last night with two more starting tonight and tomorrow night, November 6th and November 7th at 7:30 p.m. and 9:30 p.m. Tickets are just $15, so you're going to want to get out and see Dave. Many of you probably remember seeing Dave in shows like Anchorman, The Office, Saturday Night Live. Currently he's in The Scout's Guide vs. the Zombie Apocalypse. Also has Krampus coming out in theaters December 4th. You've seen Dave in everything. I mean, he's an amazing comedian, an amazing actor. It was so awesome to be able to sit down and talk with him and watch him do stand-up last night. Another cool thing with this episode, it's another mashup episode. We've done a few of these so far with Christopher James from In Movie Nerds We Trust. Christopher's been opening all of these shows for Dave since he's been in town, and we both really wanted to be able to sit down and talk comedy with them and thought, what the hell, let's do another mashup episode. We didn't end up talking movies on this episode with them. It was just kind of straight comedy and learning a little bit about Dave. Both Christopher and I have always been huge fans of Koeppner's work, and it was a good time to be able to kind of learn kind of how, you know, he came about up in Second City, out in Io, out in Chicago. I'm always used to just referring to it as Io West because I've always known of it out in Hollywood. But yeah, Io out in Chicago is where Dave kind of got his start, studying under Del Close. And then kind of as he morphed into Second City with such an amazing, amazing group of comedians. And we kind of talk about that, as well as, you know, kind of what first inspired him to start comedy. Kind of learning about, you know, some bonding stuff with his family through comedy. And just so many great things that we talked to him about. So if you're in Salt Lake City, make sure you get out to these shows. Again, tonight, November 6th, 7:30, 9:30, Club 50 West. And tomorrow, Saturday, November 7th, again, 7:30 and 9:30 are the show times. Their tickets just $15. You know, you're not going to want to miss these shows. They've been so much fun. Yeah, you're good. Just get out there. Do it. So a big thank you on this episode, too, for Christopher for letting me do this mashup episode with him again. We always have so much fun doing these episodes together. Christopher and I can just talk for hours on end, so it's always fun when we get to sit down and record a podcast together. First time we'd ever done it was when Christopher was a guest on the mic. And yeah, now we ever so often get to sit down, and I've been on his show a few times, and you know, now we've recorded a few episodes together even. It's always a lot of fun. And yeah, I think Christopher and I you know, make a good team during these mashup episodes. So I hope you guys have really enjoyed the few that we've done, and I think you guys will really like this. Christopher's, you know, such a fun comic to hang out with, and like I said, you know, he's been opening these shows for Dave, and you know, he put on just a killer set last night, and it's been a lot of fun, you know, even watching him grow as a comedian, and watching his show grow, and Movie Nerds We Trust is such a fun show to do, and a fun show to listen to, so make sure you guys check that out as well, and kind of see why we've been doing these mashups. Big thanks to our sponsor, Club 50 West. I feel like we're saying them like every other word right now. But Club 50 West has been doing a lot for us. And, you know, big thank you to them for everything they're doing. One of the next shows after Dave Koeppner's shows is a book event that I'm actually hosting. Many of you guys have heard about the documentary I've been working on, Sean Wickard, Cursed and Cured. While the filming of that has been on a bit of hiatus, Sean himself has been writing a book about everything that he's gone through that we're making the documentary about. That book is finally published and ready to be released. And November 17th at 7:30 p.m. at Club at 50 West, we've got a huge book event that we're doing where Sean's going to be there kind of talking about things. We have an Olympic bobsledder coming, as well as an NCAA All-American. You can check that out online. So all that information is up on onthemicpodcast.com. Tickets are going to be just $5 for that. But a huge thank you to Club 50 West for taking us on and letting us, you know, be able to put this event on for Sean. And letting him, you know, release his book and be able to share his story. So make sure you come and check that out. You can also get that book on Amazon.com. The book is called Impossible, or So They Said. Again, that's by Sean Wickard. Make sure you go and check that out. So it's been a lot of fun working with Sean and kind of learning his story. So, you know, I'm really excited to, you know, finally kind of get out to the general public here in Salt Lake and be able to kind of show them a little bit about his story. Huge thank you again to Dave Koeppner for taking the time to sit down with us. Christopher and I just had such an amazing time after talking with Dave. I look forward to hanging out with them, you know, a little bit more tomorrow night. I can't make it to tonight's show, but I'll be back at 50 West tomorrow night hanging out with them. Seriously, so much fun. Some of the best advice I really could have asked for talking to Dave is, you know, many of you have heard me talk about how, you know, my time through Second City's writing program has just been absolutely incredible, and I only have a handful of classes left before I'm done with their writing program. And it was great to kind of talk to Dave and find out, you know, so much about his experience with Second City and, you know, kind of what he suggests next and just so much great advice. So it felt almost intense just listening to him, you know, spout wisdom to us of everything that he's learned, you know, growing up in comedy and becoming an actor. It was so great. If you want to be, you know, doing a podcast or in comedy or acting, be listening to podcasts. You know, so many of us have, you know, great guests on that are going to, you know, be able to give you a lot of wisdom of what they've done to succeed. And it's always fun to be able to listen to them and take in so much of their experience. So thank you again, Christopher James, for letting me do this. Thank you, Club 50 West, for sponsoring us and always being so rad to us and letting us, you know, be able to set this up with Dave. Hope all of you guys enjoy this episode. Get out to the shows this weekend. Go see Dave Koechner at Club 50 West, 7:30 and 9:30 tonight, November 6th. Tomorrow, November 7th, $15 at the door. Get out there. Everybody enjoy this episode, a mashup episode with Dave Koechner.
Welcome to a Movie Nerds We Trust, the movie recommendation podcast for nights. Not quite sure what to watch. I'm your host, Christopher James.
I'm guest hosting. This is Tim Drake.
We are here at Club at 50 West in the voice.
Full recorder concert right now.
I don't even want to talk. I just want to watch this happen.
That's Laurie Anderson.
Yeah.
You know that, right?
I did not.
I don't know what song it is that she did that was her the opening prelogue to a song she did.
Oh, nice.
Who I think was a part with Lou Reed in her second part of her life. A performance artist. But anyway, yes, where are we? What are we doing? Let's do a pod and cast.
Yes.
It's a podcast.
Podcasty cast.
You can only get it if you download it, if you're fucking cool and groovy, and now you're going to hear it. You're going to listen
That's
to
right.
it. Let's do it now. Here we go. Podcast. What's the name of the podcast?
This is the In Movie Nerds We Trust podcast.
Can you dig it? In Movie Nerds We Trust. What do you put your trust in? Your currency, gold, or the knowledge of the people coming at you right now? Movie nerds that think they know one thing more than you do. Just one more thing, one more thing, one more thing that you do that makes them a nerd. Oh, sweet and sour. Out of a box. Come on. Ha, ha, ha.
So, the very comical and very lovely singing voice you were hearing is one of my favorite comedic actors. You've seen him on Anchorman, on The Office, T-Bone and Naked Trucker Show on Comedy Central. Which I love, Mr. David Koechner.
Hi, gang.
Welcome.
Yeah, thanks for being to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Also, killer night tonight, your first show.
We all had fun. West. You did
it
a great
was.
Set. We had
Thank
a,
you.
The fun show, fun night, Thursday. We came out, we killed it. Are you going to be here all weekend?
Yes, sir.
Outstanding.
Yeah, you did something that I was too afraid to do, is eat nachos off of someone else's plate, because those motherfucking things look great.
Oh, that's so tempting, aren't
yeah.
they?
Yeah. Oh, they looked so good.
We have some food coming in right now.
That's
in
right.
fact, Jonathan has brought us would not be the right way to grammatically correct.
Yes.
Oh, this is a heavy.
What's funny is I said Jonathan would just poke his head in.
Yeah.
I tell you the salad I brought weighs 2 pounds. The salad that they just brought to me, because you order a salad, you're thinking something delicate. Not too much. I'm going to stay in line with a low-cal diet. And a diet is a continuum. It's not a fad, because like you think, because I'm 53, I think I have to eat less in my life. That's the point. Low-cal. And this thing weighs 2 pounds.
It's like a man salad.
And all I want to do is eat the fried chicken on top.
Get the fuck out of here. You're 53. I cannot believe that.
I'm in.
I have to try one of the salads here, and that salad truly is
super
a
good.
Big hearty salad.
It is. There's a wine vinaigrette salad.
It's a fried chicken salad.
Oh man! First off, I'm just gonna nerd out. Say, huge honor having you.
Thank you.
On the podcast, opening for you tonight, opening for you this weekend.
Thanks for doing that.
Thank you. Thanks for letting me do it.
It had nothing to do with me.
In my heart.
Had I known, I may have had an opinion.
Really, I need to weigh in on this.
At the end of the night, really, at the beginning of the night, I'm just accepting you. No one asked me. I'm accepting and thankful. I'm grateful for you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. In my heart, in my dreams, I saw you coming to me and saying, Christopher James, I want you to open for me at 50 West.
I didn't know your middle name till just now.
Yeah.
Chrissy James, I want you to open for me.
I'm half tempted to let him do a half-assed
go on the stage without Chrissy James. On the stage with Chrissy James.
This is that
James
theme song you've been looking for for the show.
It is.
It's
Chrissy
right there.
Chrissy James, Christopher James, Jimmy, Chris James.
I'm just going to listen to this right before I do any show.
Jimmy, Christopher, James.
Oh, you.
It's been a pretty wild week for you, even before coming here with your Royals winning the World Series.
Was that Sunday?
Yeah, it was only Sunday.
Sunday, right? Yeah, that was part of this week. People don't realize Sunday is the first day of the week. It's not the last day of the week. It's the first day of the week.
Here in Utah, it's the only day of the week.
Oh yeah, that's
true.
You
rise up.
Oh my God! Yeah, I
first day of the week. Royals win the World Series.
Yeah,
I'm going to continue to eat salad during this podcast.
See, and I'm not a big sports fan, so I'm like kind of just like in awe of like the what's going on here. You guys can't tell, but David is intently looking at me while he eats his salad, and he's like, "This fat motherfucker doesn't know what a salad is." And I'm
crunchy Grinch, it's romaine. Chrissy James, and I'm eating nice greens.
I feel like I had a coma, and this is happy coma land, and I'm going to wake up and none of this is going to be real, and I'm just going to be devastated.
I'm with you. Let's coma.
Let's coma.
We can drop some acid. We'll come off the high and then coma.
Coma, just straight coma.
Have you guys ever done acid?
I have. I've done cocaine.
Wait. I said to do acid. You said, I have. I've done cocaine.
Oh, I said I haven't, but I've done cocaine.
You have not.
I have not.
You've done cocaine.
Yes.
I have not.
Tell me your name again.
Tim.
For the listeners at home, Tim has a lower voice than Christine James, old Christopher Jim. Tim, what's your last name?
Tim Drake.
Christine Jones, Tim Drake. I'm Tim Drake.
How do I get the girl's name out of this?
Lucy Clark, we'll go down that Mississippi row. Pocahontas, will you show us a way to defeat the indigenous folks? I'll give them blankets that are filled with disease. We will kill and murder till we get our E's and our E's and our E's and our DREs. We'll take your land and you'll wind up with a casino. Jackpot.
This is literally the best night of my life. I'm not even going to
lie. You just dreamed of the night that Dave Keck
can
come. It's
got
to
be a lot better than this.
I don't have much, sir, but... This is great. I got serenaded by David Koechner. Got to open for David Koechner and get the man on my podcast and have a new nickname, Chrissy James.
Yeah. Well, you can get one of those shirts made now instead of your CJ joke.
Hey, everybody likes the hashtag. They love it.
Hashtag.
I have a hashtag CJ jokes that people like to tag me in and make fun of me of. And
all right, let's get into it. The listeners are like, quit screwing around. Let's get into it.
Well, one thing I want to start getting into is your comedy tour.
Yes.
So, you've done a lot of acting. You've done a lot of different things.
Yep.
Writing, Second City. What made you want to start doing the comedy tour?
All right. The comedy tour you're referring to is the promotional item. I'll be honest with you, Chris. Do you prefer Chris or Christopher?
No, Christopher.
Okay. Christopher. it's so much more exciting for someone to go see a tour than or tour or one night only, I think. If you just say you're coming, it's one thing. If you're part of a tour, you'll be part of it. So my managers have told me, hey, what's your tour? So you name it.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. That's horseshit. I just picked up a gig that happened to be here. Tours, it's never ending.
Yeah.
You can call it a tour. You can call it whatever you want. Right? Until I conceive of a different hour, then it's a different tour. So right now, this is, I think it's called Together Again. This tour is called Together Again, which means I'm putting some characters together and doing again now. So, but until you do another special, and I hope to tape a special in the first quarter of 2016, which will end this tour, then we'll call the next one something else, which I had an idea for about 5 minutes ago that I forgot. I should have written it down.
So I heard Brian Regan even say kind of the same thing when it comes to where his managers would always come to him as well and say, you know, give us your next tour name. And it was just like, oh, I just keep going. It's not, it's just what I do.
Yeah.
And it's,
it should be keep going. This is what I do.
Yeah, there you go.
I think you like me now. That should be, because Regan is, I think you like me now.
Yeah.
Here's more of me that you like already. Because that's what Regan is. Regan is, I like you. I really believe that.
Yeah.
Regan is, for the initiated and uninitiated, is I like watching you. You're going to be live in front of me. I want to see that.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
That's what Brian Regan is.
I was telling Christopher earlier today how it took me a while to even get into Brian Regan, because out here in Utah, it was, they loved him because he was clean. Not because he was funny. I'd say, well, is he funny? I hadn't heard him yet. Well, he's really clean. I was like, but is he funny? So it took me a while to get into it, because I wanted somebody to just say, no, he's funny. And not just, he's a clean comic.
Yeah.
This is, I'm still eating. Did you see his live special?
No, I haven't seen it yet. That night. Missed out on that. It's amazing that he did that. It was on Comedy Central, wasn't it? Comedy Central. Live one.
On a Sunday, right?
Yeah.
So happy. My 9-year-old boy, Sergeant. So I'm watching a lot of football on Sunday. TV's on. Sergeant wants to watch something else. For whatever reason, we'll flip around. Brian Regan comes on. I'm like, hold on. Son, stop. We're watching this. He goes, Dad, what is this? Because he's impatient, like any kid who's 9 with so much media availability. I said, no, you have to watch this. Is Brian Regan doing his live special at that moment? And I was so happy because I love Regan. He's amazing. And Sergeant is 9. And so he knows comedy a little bit, but he doesn't watch a lot of stand-up. I said, please, son, stay with it. Watch this with me. And gosh darn it, if he didn't love it. Kept going. Sat through the commercials. Kept going. And it touched my heart. Like, yeah, this is a moment we're supposed to share.
Yeah.
That he has no idea what this moment is, which is Regan doing a live show for millions and millions and millions and millions, as he should, because he's a special thing. And I get to share that with my son. Will he remember it? Maybe. Will he get any one thing out of it? Maybe. You know, it's one thing that might touch the heart of a 9-year-old boy that goes, that's what comedy is right now with my dad. Yes. Because I hope so. Because when I was 9 years old, or 10 or 11, I'm not sure, I would watch with my dad on Saturday afternoons, Abbott and Costello.
Oh, awesome.
And that's one of the first early influences for me for comedy was Abbott and Costello. I love them to this day, and I loved it so much then. But it informed my early comedy, I don't want to say career, appetite.
Yeah.
You realize, oh, that's what I like. I like that. And then later it was, I like the Marx Brothers. Oh, I like that. I'm from a small town in Missouri, so I didn't have access to a lot of media. Because. So it's 2015, maybe 16 when you're listening to this. I grew up in the 60s and 70s. I had 3 television channels in my hometown.
Wow.
Which is, you can't even conceive of it right now as a child listening to this. But that's all you had. This is before the internet. This is before cable. three channels. So whatever came on, you hope it might be something good. So if something good happened on Saturday afternoon, that's what you watch. And it was Abbott and Costello. So whoever's listening, watch Abbott and Costello. They're movies. Specifically, that's what touched me. Abbott and Costello Meet the Mummy, Meet Frankenstein, yeah. Meet...
I got to watch Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein at the Chinese Theater a couple of years ago. It was, I think, it was like the 80th anniversary, and they were doing
80th,
something like that.
Wow,
I was surprised it had been around that long. But I mean, it was. I mean, Sid Grauman built that what in like the 20s, something like that.
You're probably right.
And where they still have the curtain and everything that closes, but to be able to like watch that right there, and it was 25 cents for the ticket because they were going back to the prices that they were doing. Doing a 80 years ago,
$50 for popcorn.
They kept true to the price. But it was amazing to watch Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein.
I love it.
In
I
the
love
Chinese
it.
Theater.
I just, honestly, it's one of my. It was sixth grade, which is what it might be 11 or 12. It's one of my fondest memories of watching on a Saturday afternoon for whatever one of the three stations that was available in my hometown, watching Abbott and Costello with my dad. And I just realized, like, oh, my God, I love this so much. And then later, without my dad, finding the Marx Brothers, which is beautiful, Anarchy. Yeah. And then even later, when I was in my young teens, 13, watching Monty Python.
Oh, yeah.
Late night, because, again, no access. It would appear late night after SNL. When I was babysitting my younger brothers and sisters and my parents were out dancing, because I know that they would not have allowed me to watch what I was watching, to watch Monty Python and the Holy Grail blew my mind. It blew my mind.
That's what I love about those classics. They still hold up to today. Like,
I think so.
Yeah.
But what I've realized is I can't show my kids too early. I showed my oldest boy, Charlie's now 16, I showed him when he was 10 Holy Grail, and he didn't get it.
Yeah.
So you gotta wait till they're ready to understand the entire implication of it. But these days they're digesting so much. And I will say, pardon me, I just burped. My oldest boy, Charlie, is helping me with some comedy now.
Oh, that's
awesome.
That's cool.
I will pitch stuff to him, and he will go, yeah, Dad, no, it's good. Yes, that's good. No, it's not good. If I get a ha-ha from him, I'm so happy. There's a thing I didn't do in the show tonight, which is Jokey, which is an old character I did on SNL. And Charlie, we were hiking Yosemite. Took my family to Yosemite the first weekend of October. A 6-mile, 6-hour hard hike.
Wow.
Except for Eve. Eve stayed. Our nanny who works with us wanted to come to the vacation. So she was like, I want to come. She volunteered to take Eve, who's our 4-year-old. But the rest of them, the other four, did the entire hike, and Charlie and I were doing jokey bits the entire time. I was so fucking happy. So Jokey, if you guys don't know, Jokey is a guy I called Gary McDonald on SNL, who's a guy that feels like he wants to always make a joke. It's based on a guy I knew in high school who makes a joke and goes, no. After, and we all know a person that says no after a joke, like they don't know how to make a joke and then bail out of it because they're so self-conscious. They'll say anything like, oh, you're wearing a checkered shirt, you like checkers, no chest, no. And they bail out of it. They have to say no. So it's one of my favorite things to do. But Charlie, we were hiking in Yosemite, and that morning, for whatever reason, I showed him some jokey jokes, and he was laughing. And the whole trip up the mountain, the walk, he and I were doing jokey jokes, and I would pitch him stuff like this. I'd say, Charlie, there's a forest. He's a forest. What is this, into the woods? No. That's what I did. I laughed. I'm like, yes, Charlie. And then I was pitching some stuff that I did not do tonight about trying to incorporate joke into the preschool dad bit that I did tonight.
Yeah.
And he gave me a bunch of solid, good stuff to work on, which I loved so much. I loved that he had really keyed in, I want to say prescient, pieces that worked within the bit that I hadn't thought of. So anyway,
No, that's awesome that you guys can like bounce those ideas off each other and enjoy
I had always hoped I'd get that with my dad growing up, because I think my first little dose of comedy was in Living Color.
Oh, yeah.
I was obsessed with Fire Marshal Bill.
Yeah.
And I got in a lot of trouble in second grade, and I think I had kindergarten, first
second
grade.
Second grade?
Oh,
wow.
I wasn't supposed to be watching it, but I was. And I know that teachers were concerned that I knew what Fire Marshal Bill was.
Oh, yeah.
But there was nothing racy about In Living Color.
It wasn't
really.
No,
there wasn't. But at the same time, it's Utah.
Same thing for me. So I was as a youth, I was not allowed to watch Smothers Brothers.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Or Laugh-In.
Which, granted, I mean, Smothers Brothers, of course, they ended up even getting ultimately canceled because of...
Same with Laugh-In.
All the stuff.
Because they were pushing boundaries, but you look back on it like, really? But I'm sure Living Color, same thing at your time, was like, uh-oh, that's pushing boundaries. But it's really not. That was well within this network
television.
It's still
television. One of my favorites.
Yeah.
See, I was fortunate enough to have, like, my mom got me into movies. She'd wake me up when I was a little kid, like 3 years old.
Wake you up?
Yeah, so I'd be her movie buddy. We'd be... she'd wake me up. She let me watch stuff. She let me, like, she introduced me to comedy, too. She introduced me to Carlin, to Ron Williams, Steve Martin when I was a kid. And I'd watch
it. Kid?
Like, Steve, she introduced me to Steve Martin and Ron Williams.
Steve Martin?
Yeah. So she taught me.
What?
Like, his comedy.
You're young. Yeah. Steve Martin was not on television when you were young.
Oh, I'm talking about, like, his albums and stuff. Like, my mom loved that. Like, his albums and stuff like that. And she introduced me to, like, probably movies I should have never watched as a kid, like Nightmare on Elm Street and, you know, Dracula. Like
I'm still eating a salad, but let's take on the premise of stuff I should not see. There's no comedy a child shouldn't see.
Yeah.
Horror might be too much.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's a comedy you shouldn't see.
No, I agree with that.
I really don't. That's a particular art that is universal. Whether it's a dick joke, fart joke, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
What's the worst thing about a comedy? Worst thing about a comedy, all right, is going to be an anatomical joke. Any kid, and I've got 5 of them, any kid is going to laugh at an anatomical joke. It's part of their body.
Yeah.
So, are we going to restrict them? What are we doing? No one's doing a butt-fucking joke. No one's doing a rape joke, because that's not a joke. An anatomical joke is usually a fart joke. That's as far as it goes in any one of those things. So how would we restrict a kid from comedy? And I'm not disparaging your mom, because that's the pervasive idea, I would say, of all puritanical America. And let's go into that idea of why we're so restrictive. Because, and why are we laughing at a fart joke? Because we're so repressed. Because of puritanical society. And the puritanical society, of course, is based upon the people that found this nation, a puritanical society, right?
Yeah.
The Puritans that first landed and started giving the Indians, going back to our first part of this interview, who they repressed. Who were fucking living on the land going, everything's cool. Holy shit. Who the fuck are these white people?
Yeah.
Imagine that. If we lived like the Native Americans. What? They're not even Native Americans. They're native indigenous people to this piece of continent that white people named. How about being more pedantic and didactic? That's me. That's me. Didactic and pedantic. That's me.
I agree with you. And that's one of the things I loved about my mom, is she let me watch comedy. She let me enjoy it. Like, I remember being like 5 and listening to like George Carlin in the car with her, like the little cassette tapes, and laughing with her and her doing impressions of like Howie Mandel.
She was.
Yeah.
That's pretty fucking awesome.
See, yeah. I had all those albums. Well, a lot of kids would hide porn under the mattresses. I had, you know, early Sandler albums. And
yeah.
I had Carlin. Those were hidden underneath my mattress.
I was like really little, like 4 and 5, and my mom would tell me like blonde jokes, like dirty blonde jokes. She'd be like, Christopher, what does a turtle and a blonde have in common? And I'd be like, I don't know. She's like, once they're both on their back, they're both fucked. You know, and like just a little kid is like laughing because it's like I'm laughing with my mom. Or hey, Christopher, what do blondes call panties? Like, I don't even know what panties are. And she's like, they're ankle warmers. That's what they call them.
They're what?
She called them ankle warmers.
Oh, that's awesome.
I attribute my mother, like, getting me an early on taste of comedy. Like, everything joke-wise I do stuff, I attribute to her. That's why it says I kind of wish my dad was around. I wish I could have had, you know, stuff like that. I feel like my dad was around. It's not meeting him later on. He ended up leaving before I was born. And I just reunited with him about 5 years ago.
How was it?
It's.
Have you already talked about it on your podcast? Have you already talked about it on your podcast?
Not on this one.
Okay. Not on this one, but.
Yeah. You talking about it on mine?
Holmfield's. Yeah. The I Am Salt Lake one.
So you've already talked about it?
Yeah.
All right. So do you want to talk about it now?
Yeah, I'd love to tell you the story.
Reunited and it feels so good. How old were you when he left?
I wasn't even born. I met him when I was 5, and he said, oh, you're too skinny to be my kid. So I took that psychosis to, I'm going to eat and get fat, so
don't believe me.
And then I started trying to find him again, and then I was so nervous to fly out there, because I flew out there by myself.
Where?
To Texas. He lives.
How old were you?
I was about 20, okay. 25. So I, because I'm from there originally. I'm from Denton, Texas originally. And he lives in Tyler and Chandler, Texas. So flew out there by myself. I'm so nervous to meet him. And I get off the plane and I see him there with his wife. And I go to shake his hand and he just hugs me. And we had the best time.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And I go onto the plane and the guy's like, oh, is that your dad? I'm like, yeah, I finally got to meet him and told the guy. And he's like, that made my day. You know, and my dad's one of my biggest fans of comedy that I do.
Oh, that's sweet.
So I'll record stuff just so he can watch them since he's not here. And I love the guy so much.
You guys talk often?
Yeah, we do.
That's good.
Yeah, so making up for lost time, but he's one of my biggest fans. And I can't thank him enough for just giving me an opportunity just to get to know him.
I want to back you down from that.
Okay.
Yeah. No. Opportunity for you to get to know him?
Yeah.
It's his responsibility to ever increasingly come into your life.
Yeah.
So, Dad, if you're listening, step up, bro.
Yeah, you heard it from Keckner, Dad.
Step up. And it's not thank you, Dad. Yeah. No. Dude, do it. Get in.
Yeah.
Text every day. I don't care what it takes. Something every single day. Bond with your boy. It's necessary.
Yeah, I agree.
So, if you're listening, what's his name?
His name is Kenny.
Ken.
Yeah.
Kenny. I.E., I'm guessing I.E. Kenny I.E.
Yeah.
Step up and get to fucking know my Christopher I.E. Christy I.E. Kenny. Step up. Bro.
Now it's, I put it that way, but
where are we in this podcast? Are we anywhere near where you wanted to go?
We, not really, but I'm still having a great time.
I have one little bit though. I'm curious to know. I mean, you, as you kind of were finding, you know, those comedy inspirations.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I'm currently studying with Second City. So I'm wrapping up the writing portion of it out in Hollywood. So I've been going through the Hollywood Center, going through the writing program. And it took me forever to kind of understand everything with Second City. What was it that finally made you kind of take that jump into Second City, Chicago?
I was a poli-sci major in college. And I quit going to all my school, my classes, because I realized I was not going to be a poli-sci major. Which was, you're going to be a lawyer, you're going to be a teacher, or you're going to be a politician. I realized I was not going to be any of those things. I quit going to all my classes, and I kind of realized what my desire was in seeking political science, because I'm from a very small town in Missouri. My desire was to be in front of people, to lead people, to be part of people. My desire was to be on stage. That's what the base idea I came to understand. And so I visited a friend in Chicago, and I went to Second City, and I realized they taught classes. And that is when a light bulb went off, and I thought, oh, this is where I have to come to learn. They teach here. So I'm going to go do that. And that was it.
Nice.
That's, wow. That's a pretty good way to just kind of have that inspiration. Yeah, this is it. This is what I need to do. So, I mean, that's, it's almost kind of how I had even made my shift. I was going to school for business with a minor in political science.
Were you?
And I just got to the point where I was just like, I just hate this. And I actually took a break and flew out to LA. One of my friends was working at Paramount at the time, and he was like, you know, I can get you in on, you know, one of the tours for free. You can just come check things out. And I hadn't been out there in years, and I was just like, I have to be in this industry. I have to be on a stage. I have to be doing something. This is just too great.
That's with comedy too. I was like, I just have to start doing it. I wanted to do it since I was 15, and finally just like had to stop waiting around and do it. And
nothing makes a parent more proud than saying, yeah, I'm dropping out of business school. I'm going to film school and then on to Second City.
That is true.
I'm texting my wife back. Oh. You guys are like, what is he doing? I'm texting my wife back because I got 5 kids back there.
No, it's...
keep talking.
Yeah.
So well, when you were at Second City, I know you were kind of with the group with Carell and all of them. I mean, there was so much great comedy coming out of Second City then.
Yes. Here's the thing that's weird. You don't know that at the time.
Yeah.
I am in Chicago in a, well, 10-year span, but I'm there 9 years. So when I'm there, you don't know that you're going to be part of an amazing, immaculate media conglomeration that is happening at the same time. You just realize, like, oh, there's a lot of great players. That happens at a time where you don't have 10, 12, 13 levels of classes to get through to perform on stage. You had 3.
Yeah.
So I go through the I.O. in Chicago with Sharna Halpern and Del Close. All right. There's a bunch of amazing performers that had come to Chicago at that time. Myself, Adam McKay, Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, Horatio Sanz, Kevin Dorff, Andy Richter. I could go on. I could list you 30 names that I don't have at the tip of my tongue right now. We're all in town at the same time. Meanwhile, at Second City, where I'm taking classes, there's Stephen Carell, Stephen Colbert, Mike Myers, Richard Kind is just leaving town. Chris Farley, I started with Pat Finn. There are 30 names I could give you. John Glazer. I already said Stack, I think. But anyway, it goes on and on and on. You don't realize that in this amazing... a 9-year span, there's an incredible confluence of talent that happens to be in that town at that time right now. And the difference is this. We only had 3 classes to get through before we got on stage, and we got on stage every night. Now what they have is 10 or 12 levels of classes before you're actually able to perform. So any performer out there right now who has to wade through your class structure, say thank you for the class structure, but you can find a stage. Read Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell. It's a 10,000 hours theory. I had 10,000 hours of stage before I left Chicago. Get on stage. Do your thing. 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 Do it now. 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 What am I bid? What am I bid? What am I bid? Do it now. Do it now. Do it right now. Do it right now. What am I bid? What am I bid? Do it right now on stage. Every night. There is a stage somewhere tonight where you can perform right now. Get up, do 5 minutes, do 10 minutes, do improv with a group of people. Now do improv by yourself. Now do stand up by yourself. Get on stage. That's the only thing that matters. I'm done.
That completely answered what my next question was going to be. So that's the best advice I think I could give.
I mean, I love that. It's true, the 1,000 hours thing.
I'm still eating salad.
So would you say with Second City your best that was one of the best decisions you've probably ever made in your career to kind of launch things?
Best decision ever made was moving to Chicago and then learning about a cat named Del Close and I studied there first. That's my best decision.
Was that at I.O. or at a...
I.O. And then I was there to do Second City anyway. But my best decision was to work at the I.O. It would still be my best decision. If I went there today, my best decision would still be to work at the I.O. and Second City simultaneously. But what I didn't do, what I wish I would have done, was do stand-up at the same time and take classes in acting at the same time. So if you want to be an actor, you want to be a comic actor, you want to be stand-up, you want to be whatever, do all of it at the same time. Take classes at I.O., Second City, and do stand-up. Don't take you can take stand-up classes for 8 weeks and then no more, because you can't learn anything more in 8 weeks. Stand-up just basically means go do it.
Yeah.
And let's face it, if you're teaching stand-up, you're really just taking people's money.
Yeah.
You're doing them a service of going, hey, come do this, but you're just taking people's money.
Yeah, it can't really be taught.
It can't be taught.
Yeah.
The only thing to be taught is like, go do it. Go do it. What's your voice? What's your voice? What's your voice? Write, write, write. That the only thing you have to do is write today, write today, read today, read today, write today. Go fucking read anything. Go read Scribner. Scribner's Tale by Moby Dick.
Yeah.
Read.
Yeah.
And then write. Read and then write. Read and then write. Every fucking day. So that's it.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite things.
Be your own poet. Here's what I'll tell you. Be your own poet every day. Be your own poet every day. And then put it up in front of people and see if your poetry is elastic with the audience. Be your own poet every day. Be your own writer. Be your own Norman Lear. Be your own Larry David. Write. Write, write, read, read, read. Get up, get up, get up. Here's the two things I'll tell any stand-up. What's most important? Number one, find your light. If you're on stage, you're standing next to the microphone. Are you well lit? Number one. Number two, never back down from the microphone. Don't apologize. Don't ever say, oh, that didn't work. Once you do, you're done. I'll give you a third one. I said two things. I'll say a third one. Everyone in the audience wants you to succeed. When you step on stage, we hope you do well. Know that. Take all fear out of it. We in the audience want you to succeed. Find your light. Hit the mic. Don't apologize. And succeed.
I love that.
Crunch, crunch, crunch. I'm still eating salad. Likes to party.
No, that's... I couldn't say it any better. And I totally agree with you. You just got to do it. And that's what I love about it.
Wow, thanks for agreeing with me.
I'll get my first I.O. experience this summer. Yeah. So I'm doing the Improv Olympics thing.
Nice.
Out there. I'm taking the week, taking the classes. And
when?
I think they usually do it in August. Is that when they do the big one down there at I.O. West?
Yeah, they do something... I'm still eating salad. Beer Shark Mice might come that week.
What was that?
Beer Shark Mice might come that week.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
Myself, Neil Flynn, Pete Holney, Mike Coleman, Pat Finn, Paul Valancourt. We might come teach classes because I know she does a big thing that week.
Yeah.
And so we might come.
All right. I will make sure if you're teaching classes, I will be front and center.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
You don't have a choice. You might get a free one.
I feel like I've learned a lot just talking with you.
I've learned salad is good.
Yeah.
Salad is great.
Yeah.
When you're older, you have to have fewer calories. And so lettuce has fewer calories. That's what I'm doing.
Dave, I got to say, not only I enjoyed opening for you, I enjoyed having you on the podcast. And
thank you, sir.
Thank you so much for all the inspirational words. And also, if you're listening to this, he's going to be here November 6th, November 7th, four more shows at Club at 50 West. Also, follow him on Twitter. And, of course, check out his YouTube channel. Hilarious stuff on your YouTube channel, by the way.
Thank you.
Fucking love it. I've been your host, Christopher James. And
I've
I
been
think...
your guest host, Tim Drake.
I'm your guest, David Keckner.
Thank you again, sir.
Thank you.